This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about the fear of the Lord. God is worthy. But today we want to talk about an aspect of God's worthiness that a lot of Christians have a hard time understanding. You see, it's one of those areas where we've latched on to a part of the truth, half of the truth. And we've grabbed so tightly onto that part of the truth that we've overlooked the other part of the truth. And yet, if we're going to walk with God, we're going to have to do it on the basis of the whole counsel of the Word of God, not just part of it. And so today, we want to bring some balance to this area, an area of God's worthiness that sometimes we don't think about. We're going to talk about God's worthiness to be feared. God's worthiness to be feared. Now, we as believers, if you have been well taught as a believer, as a Christian, you have been taught that you are not to walk in fear. Amen? I had to train myself to stop being fearful. Go over to 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. As I began to grow in Christ, I began to look at myself and realize that there were a lot of fears in my life. A lot of things that kept me from doing things that I should be doing, even for myself, let alone for God. And then as I began to grow in Christ, I began to take hold of 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. We have not been given a spirit of fear. We are not to walk in fear. The scripture says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? There is nothing in this world that holds terror for us as long as we're in the hands of God. And that's the way that we are to walk as believers. That's the way we've been trained. That's something that we have to, each one of us, come to that decision. Am I going to continue to walk in fear in various areas of my life? Or am I going to step back and say, God, I know you're in control. So one day I made a determination. I am not going to do anything or fail to do anything because of fear. Instead, I'm going to step back and say, God, what is it you want me to do? And if you said I'm supposed to do it, I'm going to do it. Praise God. Fear or no fear. See, that's the way we have to walk as believers. But that's only half the story. That's only half the story. You see, the other half of it is this. Go over to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs 9, 10. We are not supposed to walk in fear. There is nothing in this world that is to hold us in terror because God is in control. And yet, look at what the scripture tells us. Old Testament, New Testament, throughout the whole of scripture. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Did you see it? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? That's the starting place. You as a believer, you as somebody who wants to be godly, you as somebody who wants to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the starting point is the fear of God. If we don't understand about the fear of God, we don't understand our faith. We don't understand God. We don't even know who God is. Because guess what? If you understand who God is, you will fear Him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. What does God require of us? To fear the Lord. To fear the Lord our God. You know what's happened to us as believers? We have been taught that God is a loving Father. Amen? Anybody glad that God is a loving Father? Hallelujah. Praise his name. He is that. And we begin to think of him as Father and Jesus kind of as a big brother. But you know what happens to us sometimes? We get so chummy with God as a loving Father that we forget the fear of God. We forget the fear of God. What does that word fear mean? In the verses that we've looked at in Proverbs 9:10 and in Deuteronomy 10:12, it talks about reverence of God. We speak of it as the reverential awe of God. That means we are to be in awe of him. We are to hold him in absolute reverence. We're not to hold him as somebody who is common, somebody that we can treat just like we treat anybody else. God is absolutely holy. He is apart from anything, and we're to treat him that way. There's nobody like him. That's reverence of him. That's awe of him. Look at Psalm chapter 33, verse 8. Let me just read it to you. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. You see, that's the first element of what the fear of God is all about. It's about being in awe of him, holding him in absolute reverence, taking note of his holiness. Because God is a holy God. Amen. But there's another part of that. Another part of what it means to fear God. Go over to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. When the scripture tells us to fear God, it does speak of reverential awe of who God is, of his holiness, his righteousness. But there's also a dimension that's beyond just reverence for God. Isaiah 8:13. The Lord of hosts, him shall you hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. These words that are used here in the Hebrew for fear and for dread are not the same word that we saw before. The word that we saw before said the reverential awe of God. You know what these words have to do with? They have to do with being terrified. They have to do with being afraid. In fact, that word dread, it says, let him be your dread. That word dread means that you are literally shaking in terror because of that which you fear. That's what these words say. You see, there is reverential awe of God, but there is also fear that causes us to tremble in his presence. Well, you say, well, wait a minute now. That's just the Old Testament. We pass beyond that. Now we don't focus on the fear of God. We just look at the love of God. We don't need to worry about the fear of God anymore. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Walking in the fear of the Lord. You know what that word in the Greek is, that word for fear? It's phobos. It's the word from which we get phobia. What's a phobia? Something that you are afraid of in an irrational fashion sometimes. You're afraid. This word has more to do with than just reverential awe. It is fear. That's what we're called upon to walk in as the church of Christ. Understand this. The biblical concept of fearing God is more than just reverencing him, more than just being in awe of him. We are to be in awe. We are to reverence him. But also it means to be afraid, to be terrified. Now, wait a minute. Are we really supposed to be terrified of God? What's it really talking about? In what way is God worthy to be feared in that aspect of actually being afraid in his presence? I have a cousin in Tennessee, And the boy likes cars. Now, the problem is he doesn't care whose car it is. He just likes cars. And so if one's available, he'll drive it. And so my cousin and two of my cousins were together in a car, and they got stopped, and it was a car that didn't belong to my cousin. And so I ended up going to court. Now, see, I just wanted you to know, I've never been in court on my own account. This was for my cousin. Understand? But I sat there in the courtroom, and the judge was up there, and the policeman was there, and they were saying various things and asking questions and answering questions. And I really thought, you know, if I could just get some input into this thing, I could say some things that would really help. But nobody ever gave me an opportunity to speak. And you know what? I didn't stand up and say, hey, yo, judge, I got something to say. Now, why didn't I do that? Because the man has power. I stand up going, yo, judge. He say, yo, bailiff, contempt of court, 90 days. He had power, and therefore I respected him. His power changed the way I behaved in that courtroom. And that's what God's power is to do with us. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Start with verse 58. Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. We have to respect. We have to even fear the power of God. Watch this. Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book of the law will the Lord bring on you until you are destroyed. God says, if you do not walk in the fear of God, you're my people, Israel, but if you don't walk in the fear of God, I'm going to exercise my power on you. How many of you believe God heals? Hallelujah. Praise God. He's a God of healing. Amen? Amen. Praise his name. I'm glad he's a God of healing. Where would we be? Some of us wouldn't be here today if God didn't heal. Amen? Amen. But there is another side. There's a balance. God told his people, look, you have said that you're my people. You've become the people of the covenant. So here's the deal. If you serve me, everything's going to go well. I will take from you all the diseases that I put upon the Egyptians. Nothing is going to hurt you. On the other hand, stop serving me. Don't fear me anymore. And watch what happens. I'll put on you everything I put on the Egyptians. And then some. Anybody remember in the New Testament a couple of people who were members of the church? And their name was Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife. Anybody remember them? Amen. Now one day they wanted to look good to the rest of the congregation. Some people in the congregation were taking property that they owned, and they were selling the property in order to give into the church so that those who had need in the church would be supplied. And you know, I'm sure the congregation, every time somebody did that, they were standing up and saying, hallelujah, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for the people who are contributing. And so Ananias and Sapphira said, that sounds pretty good. I'd like to get that kind of accolade. And so what they did was they went and sold a piece of land, and they brought the money, and they stood back and they received their accolades. But then the Holy Spirit started speaking to Peter. And the Holy Spirit told him, look, Peter, Ananias and Sapphira, yeah, they went and sold their property and they brought the money, but guess what? They only brought 55%. Of what they got. Now, I don't know what the percentage was. You know, I'm just giving a little license here. They only brought 55% of what they got, but they told you they bought everything. And therefore, I'm going to deal with them. Anybody remember how the Lord dealt with them? Ananias came in. Peter gave him one more chance. Ananias, I understand you sold some land. Yes, I did. And you brought the money to be distributed to those who have need. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I really did. And I understand that the amount you sold it for was such and such. That's exactly it. And we brought it all and put it into the treasury. Peter said, why have you chosen to allow Satan to put it in your heart to lie to God, to lie to the Holy Spirit? In other words, Ananias, why were you not afraid of the power of God? And Peter said, because of your lie, because you have lied not to men but to God, God is going to deal with you right now. And Ananias fell dead at his feet. It says a couple of hours later, Ananias' wife, Sapphira, came in. And she had no idea what was going on. But she and Ananias had gotten together on this thing. And so they went through the whole thing again. Oh, did you sell the land? We sold the land. For how much? For this amount. And we brought it all. And Peter said, because you've lied, the men who took your husband away are standing right there, and they're going to take you away as well. Bottom line is this. God dealt with people who did not walk in fear of him. The scripture says that when Ananias and Sapphira died, fear came on the whole church. They walked in a godly fear. You see, that's what fear of God does. It changes your behavior. Parents, how many parents do we have here today? Amen. Good, lots of parents. How many of you believe that your children love you? You believe your children love you? Amen. Amen. Now, because your children love you, they want to please you, right? And therefore, everything you tell them to do, they do. Isn't that right? Isn't that? It doesn't work that way? Now, wait a minute. When you want to make sure that your children do what you tell them to do, what do? You put, she says you put the fear of God in them. Amen? In other words, you know your children love you, but you understand that their love for you is not enough to regulate their behavior in the way it needs to be regulated. You know that that takes some fear in the equation. And so you let them know, honey, I love you. And because I love you, you are going to obey me. And I am going to ensure your behavior in the way that I need to do it. I'm wearing a belt today. Or it may be a switch. Or it may be today, you know, in this modern time, it may be time out. Whatever it is, you use something that is intended to arouse fear. When you tell your child, don't play out in the street, and your child is 4 or 5 years old, and you don't want him to play out in the street, do you sit down and explain, well, honey, look, there are trucks and cars out there? You may do that, but you also understand that that little mind can't really comprehend trucks and cars and all the rest of it. So what do you say? In addition to explaining about trucks and cars and getting run over, you say, you get yourself out in that street, and when you get back, I'm going to spank you, or I'm going to do whatever it is you do. Why? He understands that. Amen. He may not have the concept of trucks and cars yet, but he has the understanding of spanking. You are putting fear into him to regulate his behavior for his own good. That's what the fear of God is all about. Do we love the Lord? Hallelujah. We love the Lord. Guess what? We're just as much children as that little child in your house. And God knows that as much as we say we love him, in terms of regulating our behavior, there needs to be some fear in the equation. We need to understand that when we rebel against God, there will be consequences. We need to be afraid of God's power. I had a friend in Colorado who was an auxiliary policeman. And I was driving down the road one day, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was a police car behind me. And I could see it was my friend. My friend. And as soon as I looked and saw that there was a police car with my friend in it, you know what the next thing I did was? I looked at the speedometer. How fast am I going? You see, I understood he's my friend. But I also understood he had the power to give me a ticket. Therefore, I'm going to make sure he didn't have the opportunity. Why? Fear. Even though he was my friend, it was fear that regulated my behavior. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Look down at verse 11. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Isn't that right? It's painful. That's the purpose of it. That's what changes our behavior. But nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Understand, if you are a believer in Christ, here's what you signed up for. God will put as much pain in your life as he needs to put to keep you on track. Isn't that great? Anybody want to praise God for that? Amen. 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 Because why? It's better to get a slap on the wrist than to get run over by a truck out in the street. Isn't that right? Amen. And to keep us from getting run over by a truck somewhere out in the world, God will give us as many slaps as he needs to give us. Amen. But you know what? Scripture says it. It's painful. Has to be painful. And therefore, in order to avoid the pain, anybody interested in avoiding pain here? Yes. Amen. In order to avoid the pain, guess what? I regulate my behavior according to the will of God. That's what the fear of God's power does for me. You know what the best reason that God is worthy to be feared is? It's because of his loving kindness. Hallelujah. That's the best reason. That's the one I like. Look at Psalm 103, verse 13. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. You're in Psalm 103. Look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. Those who fear God are the recipients of his mercy, of his grace, of his loving kindness. And he says, those who fear me, they are the ones that I will bless. You know how I think of it? How many of you like getting wet in the rain? But most of the time, what? You don't want to get wet, right? You want to avoid it. The way I think of fearing God is this. If I have a fear of getting wet, what do? I put up an umbrella. You know when I fear God, what God does? He holds an umbrella over my head. And all of the dangers, all of the snares of the devil, all of the arrows that he wants to shoot at me, everything that comes falling toward me, as long as I'm under God's umbrella of protection, nothing can touch me. Isn't that right? Praise God. I'm walking along under the umbrella. Praise God. And you know why I'm there? Because I fear stepping out. When you step outside of God's umbrella protection, what's out there? There's danger out there. Scripture says that we have an adversary who is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, trying to get to us, trying to destroy us. I want to stay under God's umbrella. Amen? I want to be under his umbrella of protection. And therefore, the fear of God, it keeps me under his umbrella, keeps me in the place of being protected and being blessed. That's the place of God's blessing. Go over to Psalm 34, verses 7 through 9. We began by talking about the fact that we as Christians should not walk in fear. There's nothing in this world that should cause us to fear. But why? Look at this. Psalm 34, starting with verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Praise God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Isn't that great? God says when you fear him, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you walk in his blessing. Blessed are those who fear the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24. Here's the bottom line on everything that we've talked about today, the bottom line on what it means to fear God, the bottom line on why God is worthy to be feared, the bottom line on why, even though we love Him, we need to start off walking in the fear of God. Here it is, Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. There it is. You know why we need to fear the Lord? For our own good always. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, that fear of God will regulate our behavior in such a way that we receive the blessings of God rather than the cursings that the devil wants to throw our way. The fear of God for our own good. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Here's the final part of it. 1 John 4:18. Look at this. You know what will happen when we start off fearing God? Think about this. How many parents have grown children who are out on their own? Amen. Are your children still afraid of your belt or whatever you used to use? I hope not. But do your children still love you? Yeah. You know what happens? Look here. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know what happens to us as we begin our lives with Christ, fearing God, walking in the fear of the Lord? It's the fear of God that regulates our behavior in the beginning. But you know what will happen before it's all over? Love will supersede fear. There'll come a time when instead of walking in the fear of God to regulate our behavior, guess what? Just like that child that's now grown up and can look back and say, yeah, I needed that spanking back then, but I don't need it anymore, Mom. I love you because you're my mom. I want to honor you because you're my dad. And I've graduated now. It's no longer a fear relationship. It's a love relationship. Isn't that great? Praise God. Praise God. But it has to start by walking in the fear of God.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin, inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.